Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Corporate trauma. I'm not sure if that's a phrase that's already out there or if I'm just making it up now, but that's what I'll use to talk about a bad situation that happens to a lot of people at once. It could be something like the pandemic. It could be a natural disaster. It could be something like 9/11. Right? We had the 20th anniversary of that recently. Whatever it is, it's something bad, something big, and something that happens to a lot of people at the same time. And you know what they're like. Whether it's just living through the pandemic or experiencing the loss of a loved one, you know what it's like to go through a traumatic experience with others. And in that situation, there are a few things we need to admit. First, everybody feels the effects of it. Nobody is exempt. So that means, yes, you're dealing with your own feelings and responses, but other people are too. Second, you are allowed to feel what you're feeling. For example, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is the author of the groundbreaking book on death and dying. And she's the one who outlined those famous five stages of grief: denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and acceptance. Regardless of which of those you are in at any given point, you are allowed to feel it. You don't need to, quote, get over it because somebody tells you to. You are allowed to feel your feelings. The third thing to admit is that since trauma happens to a lot of people at the same time, your neighbor is allowed to feel what they're feeling too, even if it's not the same as what you're feeling. Maybe they're in a different stage of grief than you are, and that's okay. So then what do we do with all these different feelings in the midst of a corporate trauma? Well, sometimes we are patient with each other and we listen to one another, and that's great. But a lot of the time we focus on holding on to whatever power we think we have. Because in a powerless situation, having even a little bit of power makes you feel better. Like in the pandemic, we've seen people hold on to the power of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, or getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated, or going places or staying at home, whatever. Being able to control something, anything, makes you feel better when things are chaotic. But of course, when different people don't agree and want to control the same thing, then conflict happens. Jesus' disciples knew this experience too. They went through a corporate trauma as well. In their case, it was the death of Jesus. Now, in our heads, we know that his death was a horrible event. But we usually forget about the emotions of those who had to deal with it firsthand. All right, so think about it for a moment. Last week, we heard Jesus tell the disciples that as the Messiah, he would suffer and die and be raised on the third day. The raised on the third day part sounds good, but not the suffering and dying part. So Peter tried to talk him out of it, to which Jesus replied, "Get behind me, Satan." Today's reading follows right after that one. So the disciples are dealing with the emotional trauma of knowing that Jesus is going to die. So what do they do? Well, chances are that they were all processing it in a different way. Why do I say that? Because immediately they started to argue about who's the greatest. Which at first can seem like a really weird way to respond to a crisis. Right? Usually we think of competition when it comes to things like sporting events or reality TV shows or climbing the corporate ladder, that sort of thing. We don't normally think of competition when we're in the midst of a corporate tragedy. During the tragedy, we think about coming together and supporting one another, which is great. But sometimes we do still compete. For example, consider how many people are competing to have their voices heard during the pandemic. Which of those voices should we really listen to? Who really knows what's best right now? Should we listen to the president, the CDC, the news show you agree with, the news show you don't agree with, this school board, that school board, the person with no training who thinks they know everything, the loudest person on social media, the person who thinks, well, I'm not going to talk to them because I'm just smarter than they are and they're too closed-minded. Should we listen to ourselves because we don't trust anybody else? All right, you get the point. So many people, ourselves included, are jostling for power right now. Why? Well, because once again, when things are out of our control, any sense of power makes us feel better. And that's where the disciples were too. Right? They weren't arguing because they didn't listen to what Jesus said. They were arguing because they did listen to what he said. Even if they don't fully understand the meaning behind his death, they still jostled for power about who knew best how to handle it. Right? How are they supposed to respond to this trauma? Who's going to see them through this? Who would correctly interpret the facts and not just give opinions? Oh, but then how does Jesus respond to that? Well, first he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? Well, of course, he already knew. He just wanted them to confess it. But the disciples were silent, which is how we often respond to. Sometimes we are shamed into silence, because we know that anything we say is just going to make things worse. Right? I mean, would we be willing to confess to Jesus right now that we still argue about who's best? Would we confess to him that we look down on our neighbors just because they don't feel the same way we do about certain things? Do we really mean it when we say, we have not loved you with our whole heart? We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves? Sometimes, no, we don't mean it. So Jesus then does two things in response to the disciples and all their argument. First, he still suffers and dies and rises again, which is amazing. Right? Jesus did not say to them, okay, you guys think you know what's best? You think your arguing is going to make any difference? You think you have all the answers? Fine, I'll just leave it to yourselves then. Good luck. Right? No. Jesus did not do that. Despite how dense the disciples were, Jesus still died for them. Even better, he still conquered the grave for them. Jesus did not avoid suffering and death like we want to. Rather, he went through them in order to bring new life. And that's exactly what he does for us too. Right, I recently heard a line that said, you don't get over a trauma. Instead, you go through a trauma. Jesus went through that one with the disciples. And he goes through our traumas with us too. And yes, it's hard. No one said that change and suffering and death were going to be easy. But the good news is that Jesus still brings resurrection. He still brings new life, even in the midst of change. Right? The disciples had to experience this trauma of his death. And then later, they also had to experience the trauma of losing him again in the ascension. But in the midst of all of that, there was still the empty tomb. And there was still the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means that Jesus is stronger than death. And he was always with them. That's true back then. And it's true now for us. So repeat after me. Jesus is stronger than death.
Jesus is stronger than death.
Jesus is always with us.
Jesus is always with us.
Jesus is the one in charge.
Jesus is the one in charge.
We are not and do not have to be in charge. Yes, we're all doing our best, but we all fall short. So be gracious to others when they don't meet your expectations, just as you want them to be gracious with you. In the midst of this, Jesus remains in charge. He still forgives us, still dies for us, and still gives us resurrection. So that's the first thing he does for these disciples. The second thing he does is remind them that if they truly want to be great, then they will serve. Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Right, back in Jesus' day, kids were not considered adorable and sweet. Instead, they were truly the powerless ones. That's because in a world without modern medicine, the infant mortality rate was very high. So it's not that kids were unloved, but rather people knew that they weren't going to live very long. So why get invested in them? They're expendable and they won't be around too long. Well, Jesus reminded his disciples that those who are great are not those who have power over others, but those who serve the powerless ones. Right, for example, with the 20th anniversary of 9/11 we had recently, we remembered that horrible day. But we also remembered the great ones of that day. The great ones weren't the hijackers or the politicians, but the first responders. They're the ones who gave them themselves to help those who had no power. In the same way, during this pandemic, we've heard over and over again of the heroics of medical personnel. Those frontline workers who give of themselves to those in desperate need. As Mr. Rogers liked to say, in the midst of tragedy, look for the helpers. Those are the people who are great. And yes, many of us here are not first responders or medical personnel, but we can still be great in our serving too. We can choose to be patient and listen to someone as they vent their feelings, whatever those feelings are. We can make decisions based on the well-being of others and not just on what we want. And to be more specific, we can bring in stuffed animals for Care House. Right? I mean, there are a bunch of kids there right now who are dealing with the trauma of abuse and neglect. They are truly powerless. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we can be great in our serving by bringing in new stuffed animals for them. We can show them love and put their needs first. So yes, none of us like going through a corporate trauma. But when we do, we are allowed to feel our emotions. And your neighbor is allowed to feel their emotions, even if they're different than yours. But because of those different feelings, we need to remember that arguing with each other is not the way to proceed. The way to proceed is to keep our focus on Jesus, who is greater than death, to follow him where he leads, and to serve those who are the most vulnerable. Sometimes we don't always get it right, but sometimes we do. But no matter what, though, Jesus remains with us, continues to lead us, and continues to bring us to resurrection life. So honestly, when we ask the question, who is the greatest? The answer is never us, but always Jesus. So in the name of the Messiah who calls us to follow, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.